Well, back in the day, there was this show called Let's Make a Deal. There was a host, Monty Hall. Well, now the show has been updated with a guy named Wayne Brady. From whose line is it anyways? And so I've entitled this talk today, The Deal, as Habakkuk, who has become a changed man after all that he's gone through. And wow, isn't it interesting how when we're going through difficult times that the changes come, and they're changes in us, not changes in God, because he doesn't need to change. He's the theological term for that is immutable. He doesn't need to change. His ways are perfect. But we come to Habakkuk 3, verse 3, and it says this. It says, God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And then he says, Selah. And that means stop and think about this. So there's a few things that we can see here that have happened. First of all, the one that is coming is God. And that's an important point to remember, because you can really cause the people of God to just quiet down and trust and live in their lives by faith. God is going to come in person to this earth. And what a good thing to know. And normally, in Hebrew, when we read that proper noun, God, it's Elohim. And that's a plural noun that many use for proof of the Trinity. But this, and that's, you know, the sovereign creator, these overall things, but this is a word, Eloah, and it's a singular noun, which emphasizes that there's one specific member of the Godhead who's specifically going to come to this earth. And we know passages like Isaiah 9:6, that there's going to be a son that will be born, ultimately come to earth, and have all of the government of God on his shoulders. In fact, Isaiah says this. He says, for a child will be born to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. So there's going to be a son, some son that's going to be born in this world who eventually will have all of the government of God on his shoulders, and he would be called the Mighty God. Well, we get more revelation about this in New Testament verses, Book of Revelation, and the person who is God, he'll actually come to take over the world. And it's none other than our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came the first time lowly in Bethlehem, but the second time he comes with great power. He started out with, as Lamb, but then he comes later with great power. And so that show, Let's Make a Deal, there was always stuff behind curtains, behind doors, and they would have to make choices. It's as if the host, Habakkuk, through his prophecy, is pulling back door number one, door number two, door number three, and he's sharing each time what's going to happen. So that we're aware of what we're getting with the deal. And the Apostle Paul predicted there would become a day when every knee is going to bow before Jesus Christ to confess that he's a Lord. Philippians 2, 10 and 11. And so what we learn here is that Jesus Christ is God. And he's the one that's going to come settle the score for Israel. He was here once, but he didn't do what was predicted here. So he's coming back, and he is God. And every arrogant leader and person who made life interesting for the people of Israel, things will be different. So that's one thing. Then he's coming from Teman, and Teman was a large city in Edom. And Edom is located in the southeast of the Promised Land. And it's an area controlled today mostly by Arabs and Muslims. In fact, it's known today as a modern-day Jordan. It's a land that sits south and east of the Dead Sea and slopes down into the Arabian Desert and into Saudi Arabia. And Ezekiel predicted that God is specifically going to target Teman and Edom with specific judgment because these peoples had, on a regular basis, done horrible things to his people, Israel. Ezekiel 25, 12 through 14. In fact, he predicts that these same people will specifically be targeted for anger and wrath of God. And he says in Ezekiel 25:14 that he is pouring out his vengeance on them by the hands of my people Israel. And it's clear the leader of these people, this people's destruction, is going to be none other than Jesus Christ. And it's revealed here that when Jesus returns, he will let his people see him totally and completely take care of this issue in these peoples. And the one who's coming also, we see in verse 3, is a holy one. It's important to remember that this person who's coming is holy. It's God is a holy God, and he's coming back to an unholy world, and he's going to settle the score. So we look around and we see horrible, evil things taking place. Political leaders and judicial leaders promoting and supporting things that are an abomination to God. We actually live in a country that has removed God from pretty much everything. Just watched recently, there's a movement to take Bibles out of public libraries now. And wow, you don't hear that about other books. Books that push the line in blasphemy and immorality. And God says, I'm holy, and I'm coming to the earth as a holy judge. And those that mock God and those that reject Christ and those that hate the word are going to experience wrath. And I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And this Holy One is coming from Mount Paran. The verse goes on and says, and Mount Paran was a very special place. It's this place in the Sinai Peninsula where God appeared to Israel as she came out of Egypt. Deuteronomy 33:2-4. And the fact that God reveals that prophetically, and the prophetic perfect, by the way, which is a tense that it's as if it's already happened. It's a past thing that has been mentioned, but it's as if it's already happened in the future. It teaches us two things. God will physically show up and display himself for Israel, as he did at Mount Sinai. And God will take care of the matters of land with Israel that to that point had not yet been fulfilled. And so by using these geographical locations, God is saying to Israel, my coming is in direct connection to Israel and the Promised Land. In fact, Habakkuk says, Selah. And Selah says, now you stop and you think about this for a minute. The Holy God is coming in person to take care of anything and any issue that the people of Israel have had to deal with. And he goes on, he says, the Holy One's splendor covers the heavens. And there's no question that the glory and splendor of God is seen in the heavens. However, when in this specific prophetic moment he's talking about here, he'll come out of the heavens in all his glory. That's a critical point. When Jesus was here on earth, he warned people. He warned them in Matthew 24 that there'll be many false people, prophets and false religious people that would show up to try to convince Israel that they were the Messiah. In fact, Jesus said some of them would be able to do impressive things. But he's very emphatic in the point that he would come back, the true Messiah would come back visibly out of heaven, and the powers of heavens will be shaken, and then he will come on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Matthew 24:30. John described that moment in Revelation 19:11. He said, I saw heaven opened. And Habakkuk is saying when God comes in the person of Jesus Christ, he's coming right out of heaven in all of his glory and splendor. Wow. And lastly, the earth will be full of his praise. Not only will the earth be filled with the knowledge of God that we read back in the second chapter in verse 14, but it's also going to be filled with the praise of God, the praise of the Holy One, Jesus Christ. What a day. When Jesus returns, the entire earth is going to praise him and praise God. And we're all going to realize how all things pointed to him and that he'd have to be praised. And so these that are mocking God, these that are in power right now, you see things on the news and it can be discouraging. And there's a point where we cannot keep talking about this on a regular basis. We look at the elections, we look at this, and I just hear all these people and Christians worrying about this stuff. And our kids watch us, and they're wondering, who do you think's in charge? And if they see fear in our face, I mean, I remember one of my first memories of my father was back in 1968 when the Democratic Convention was going on in Chicago. And it was blocks away from our house. And I'm 7 years old at that time. And I don't remember seeing my dad very fearful of things. But on TV, there was rioting going on. And Richard Daley was trying to keep control. And so the police were beating people to a pulp and sending out dogs. And it was on the news. You saw it on TV. And I saw a look on my father's face of fear. Well, that caused me to fear because he was always strong and in charge. And so as we look at the landscape of what is going on in our country and in our world, our kids, our young ones, those that look up to us, they need to see people that are confident in the Lord. Are there things that concern us? Sure. Should we be praying? Yes. But here's the deal. He has pulled back the curtain. He's not playing games with what's in my wallet or what's in my pocket or what's in my wife's purse. And if we pull out all those things, then he'll allow us to play the game. And then I can pick from behind whatever this door has and this door has. Instead, he's shown us what's behind the door. And behind the door, here's the deal. The one with great power, the one that's in charge, can be trusted. And that's who I'm looking to for my strength. I pray that that is the case for each of us.